pleased to welcome Nicole McKee. As you know, Nicole is now Deputy Leader of the ACT Party and Associate Minister of Justice, Minister responsible for firearms reform, and she's leading the government's overhaul of our country's gun laws and regulatory system. Nicole, thanks again for joining us on Wāte. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Dale. It's great to be with you again.
Thanks. Like I say, not everyone's going to agree with the perspectives that our guests furnish, but I think that we regard them with a level of sophistication and their abilities to make their own minds up about what's ticking and what's pulling and what's not, Nicole. Now, the issue that we're talking about today is something that's very foreign to me because I've never owned a gun. But there are many that have. And if you ask people if they own a gun, if there's a pause, I'd suggest that there's probably not a firearms license.
Maybe, maybe not. I mean, quite often a pause nowadays actually sometimes means that people do not want to publicly advertise that they're a firearms owner. And so they take a step back. But there are a number of firearms that are out there in the community with unlicensed people. And so you're quite right, Dale. There could be that reason for having that pause as well.
Tēnā koe. Can you succinctly give us the elevator pitch style of the changes that have been made? I mean, you're pleased to have overseen these changes, but many are listening today because they in the space won't know what the heck has gone on. Tell us what you've done, please, Nicole.
Thanks, Dale. Yes, well, we have the Arms Act 1983. It's 43 years old. It's been mucked with quite a number of times. Every time you have an incident, people, politicians rush in, make changes, often have unintended consequences. So I've now been able, as part of the government, to rewrite the entire Arms Act. So from next week, we will have an Arms Act 2026. And I've heard Te Pāti Māori in the debate say, all you're doing is getting rid of regulation and not keeping the country safe. We actually are keeping the country safe and getting rid of regulation. And the high-level pitch here that I think will really resonate with a lot of people. One, storage requirements. So a lot of people do find it hard to store their firearms where they live. They might be renting, they might be in some sort of other accommodation where they can't put a gun safe in. From when the law comes in 23rd of September 2026, you'll actually be able to store your firearms at any premise that's been approved by the regulator. So you know what, it might be mum and dad have a safe so we can go store there instead of having to drill holes in the walls of the rental that we're in. Infringement notices instead of revocation, because effectively that's all we have in the current Act. You will be revoked if you do something wrong. Well, let's educate people. I think that's always a good way forward. Being able to suspend on mental health grounds, allowing people to go and get some help instead of just revoking them. Extending dealer license duration so that they're for 5 years instead of 1 year. And I think one of the most important things that we've got going here as well is we're establishing a new Firearms Licensing Review Committee, because currently New Zealand Police, they write the policy, they do the administration, they do the regulation, they do the enforcement, and they also review their own decisions. So a licensing review committee will come from people within the firearms community, and they will be able to review any licensing decisions that people might want to appeal. And the biggest one of all, separating New Zealand Police from the administration and regulatory functions, allowing them to just deal with enforcement and giving trust and respect it back to licensed firearm owners again. We need to rebuild it. We will do that over several years because it won't happen overnight. But we will also be changing the name of the authority to Firearm Safety and Education New Zealand, allowing people to actually be educated in what these changes are going to be, and also educate the rest of the country that firearms and firearm owners are not in conflict with public safety. They actually go hand in hand.
You know, many of those firearm owners are responsible, as we know, most indeed. But if you're a gangster and you want a gun, you can get them, can't you?
Well, I'd say at the moment, absolutely. And when I first came into government, well, not into government, into politics in 2020, I did a written question to the Minister of Police at the time, Poto Williams, and I asked her, how many gang members have firearm licences? Because we're all told licensed firearm owners are supplying guns to the gangs. There were over 40. And we thought, what? how come? How have we got to that point? If you've got people with serious convictions, how are they seen to be fit and proper? So police reviewed that. They went through and they got rid of some of the firearm licences there. Actually, they ended up getting rid of all of them but one. But the reality is that those people that were now not deemed to be fit and proper were able to legally purchase firearms and then offload them. We call that straw buying for other people. So we've got to come down on that as well, because there is a number of firearms out in the community. Nobody knows how many that are not in legal possession. And they are the types of firearms that have been used in drive-by shootings and attacking our families. So we've got to stop that. Use them for the proper purpose, you know, hunting, putting kai on the table, shooting sports. We're really good at what we do with firearm safety and sports and recreation, but we've got to make sure that we also keep our public and our families safe.
Tēnā koe. Nicole McKee is with us today. Nicole is talking about the gun legislation, but of course, as the Associate Minister of Justice, we know too that there are some hot issues on the table, not the least of them the clawing back or trying to shore up how we use references to the treaty in our legislation. Might you be kind enough to talk of this matter, please, and bring us up to speed with where things are at from your end, please, Nicole?
Yes, well, I believe there's a coalition agreement between New Zealand First and National now around treaty clauses being within certain pieces of legislation. They're going through a process where they've had agreement on where they will look into certain areas, and I guess they're working through that. I've had my head down with the arms bill, trying to get this through its final stages, so I've not been able to really get a crossover of where they're at with what they're doing there. That's their coalition agreement that they're implementing. But at the end of the day, they're wanting to ensure that they have legislation that is fair, what they call, I guess, fair on everybody, making sure that where we have treaty principle clauses, it's where we have references to treaty settlements, making sure that none of that is being undone in any way, but making also sure that there is fairness, I guess, in the bills that they have going through. So they're looking at what they're going to change, where they're going to change it. Like I said, Dale, I'm not over it. I've had my head down not only in this, but our backing hunters policies, as well as the sale and supply of alcohol, which I'm looking at, and anti-money laundering legislation, which is going to make life a lot easier for people as well. And I don't have treaty clauses in those particular bills, so I'm not over what New Zealand First and National are doing just at this time.
Most legislation does have some treaty reference to it. But yeah, one of the bottom lines for the coalition agreement was to set up a regime that looks at a regulatory environment. That's how David, I assume, ended up as the Minister of Regulation. We tend to think of these potential changes as being negative. So I invite you to speak, if you want to, on why less red tape, less regulation ultimately will be good for our people, Māori.
Well, I think, you know, part of what this government is doing, for example, is trying to free up Māori land so that you can put papakāinga on it. And a big part of that is being able to get rid of the red tape. We have so much red tape that's holding all of us back from really reaching our potential. And if we can get rid of some of that, especially for those areas like being able to build homes on Māori land, we just haven't been able to do it for decades. So reforms in the RMA space will allow that. I get it that people have concerns that if you start to pull away regulation, is it going to make us less safe? Is it going to cause us some demise in the future? It's never the intention of any government that comes in to cause harm to anybody. What they want to try and do is make it easier for people to be able to develop, to utilise, and just not get caught up in the bureaucracy. If I think about the AML laws that I'm doing as an example, we couldn't even have children go into a bank and open a bank account. That's how bad our red tape had got. We can now do that, you know, and I've had three pieces of legislation go through. A fourth one's about to come through. that will allow customer due diligence to just be relaxed a little so that you can get on with your everyday lives. And I get it that there might be concern, but we've got to not start from that place of concern, but look at the place of potential and what it opens up, and then have discussions about, are there unintended consequences with anything in particular that we wish to get rid of? And this is why it's so important we have the Ministry of Regulation, because they do their reviews and they will be looking at that and whether or not there is unintended consequences to anything that we do. But in so much of the red tape cutting that we've been undertaking over the last 3 years as a government, we haven't seen that. What we've seen is the opportunity, prosperity and ability for people to actually get on with their lives without that government interference.
I guess we're all in a way resistant to change, but if it's change, if it's positive change, then all we need to do is talk about it in a mature way, which I hope people accept that we are, and be willing to consider the alternative. Just because it's the way we do things now doesn't mean it's the best way. So some would say there are far too many politicians. ACT believe that to be the case as well. And I do take your point that if it would make it easier for people to go and build back on our own whenua and cut some of the red tape, the council inspections, the building codes, etc., play against the ability for us to go home and harvest timber and put up shelter without it being signed off by council and regulations, would give many people an opportunity perhaps to live that dream, if you will, Nicole. So there are plenty of areas where we're over-regulated. I'm sure people would agree with that.
I totally agree. And one of ACT's policies that we've managed to get through this term as well is a sharing of GST with councils, so that the cost of trying to build is not solely placed on you as well. Allowing that when you go for a resource consent, and of course that's all being overhauled as well, the payment of that, some of it gets funneled back to the council, so the council can help pay for the infrastructure needed in some of these areas as well. So I think there is win-wins for everybody, but we do need to ensure that when you make changes, one, that you take the community with you. Sometimes our government's successful with that, sometimes we're not, and we all learn from how we go about doing it. But taking everybody with us so that they're not afraid of the change, but rather get excited about the prospects and opportunities, I think that's a way forward, and it lifts us all up as communities and as people that just actually want to achieve more for the future of New Zealand. And I think it's a good space and a good place to be in.
Tēnā koe. Should I buy my boys AK-47s for Christmas?
You better have an endorsement if you do.
All right, thanks.
With those types of firearms, they're actually heavily restricted in New Zealand. But what you can do down...
Why would anyone want one, Nicole?
Well, actually, yeah, the reason why some people want them is the collectors want them. They want them to be able to ensure that they keep that history alive. I think there might be a bit of confusion between an AK-47 and an AR-15. Some people will use AR-15s for the humane those types of firearms, for the humane dispatch of multiple animals, and that's actually been seen as being relevant because those firearms were not actually prohibited and banned. They were restricted to only certain people with endorsements being able to use them, and the majority of those are pest controllers. So that actually shows a real legitimate reason for having them and for using them, but they are no longer able to be used just for your average hunter being out there because of the type of firearm that they are.
And as I mentioned at the start, don't know a lot about firearms except the Dirty Harry Magnum to help make my day. That's the only one I can really recall. Thanks a lot, Nicole. We'll talk on more serious matters, and excuse my sort of lack of understanding of this space, but I know that you know it very well and respect that. And always enjoy conversations with you, sis. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Tēnā koe, Nicole. You were 603 Urban Māori Radio.